We've been looking at watchmen and the role of the watchmen, also, you know, the need to say the importance of the watchmen. And I think some were surprised when I said we all could be or were watchmen. That needs clarifying. Like many other things, there are degrees of being. When Paul was speaking to the Corinthian church, he was talking on spiritual gifts in 1 Corinthians 14. It was pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. The Amplified says these gifts are used by the believer for the benefit of the church, but especially prophecy, to foretell the future, to speak a new message from God to the people. Now, you may say, I'm not a prophet. Possibly not. But you can prophesy. Otherwise, why would Paul say to eagerly desire? Nowhere in Scripture are we told to desire something that we cannot have. Good things I'm talking, please don't misread what I've said there. Yeah. Just because you don't prophesy now doesn't mean you can't. And perhaps there needs to be more desire to say, I want to prophesy. I want to speak things out that God's given me. Not everyone is a prophet, but everyone can prophesy. Likewise, Jesus said to all, watch. We are all called to watch or be watchers or watchmen. Like prophets, there are different levels of that gifting. There are different words used in Scripture for watchmen, for the different watchmen. Some are there on the wall top just to watch, literally, do what they say, to watch, to see who's coming and to give a warning. Others are there to watch, to give a warning, but then to take action. They're given they're told what the enemy is, and they know how to actually work against it or work against the enemy. They were talking about they know how to put a hedge of protection around people. As they identify the enemy, they know how to deal with the enemy and take it to the intercessors, and they can bring with the watchmen, can pray against it. We see in Habakkuk 2:1, I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart and watch till I see what he will say to me. Habakkuk, if you've read his book, he's having a rant at God at this time. Or should we put it politely? He's having a discussion. Because things aren't actually going the way he was expecting. He's looking around at all the evil nations around the world, and they're doing okay, thanks. But his people aren't doing very well. What's God doing? What's he going to do about all this evil? About all these different nations? And Habakkuk says, I'll set myself on the watch. So he positions himself to see. Now, we're not talking about here seeing in the natural. Habakkuk has positioned himself to see because he's actually looking at the nations. And he's putting, he's actually in that place where he's going to see into the spirit realm. And it says, I will set my watch, I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart and wait to see what he will say to me and what I will answer when I am corrected. See, Habakkuk's called on God and he expects a response. He wants to see and he wants to understand what God's going to do. And God gives him instructions. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. But at the end, it will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. There's a blast from the past, isn't it? Habakkuk taught on this years and years ago when we looked at the Habakkuk. Yeah? But God said, look, I'm going to do something. I'm telling you what it is so everybody can see. And it says, so make it plain for anyone can even run by and still see it. God said, look, this is what I want. I want what I want publicized so people can see it, so people can get hold of it, and it will surely come. When I say something, it will come. God wants us to be anticipating. He wants us to be responding to what he's telling us to do. When we go back to Genesis 1, place of very first, you know, very beginning, the first place of first mention, we see about what God's doing. And we see a number of times in Genesis 1 that God speaks. And each time God says, let there be. Let there be. And each time, as we go through those days that in creating, God's created a new thing, a new dimension, a new area of his creativity. And when we get into verse 12, it says, and the earth brought forth grass, the herb that yields seed according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its time, its kind. It's talking about seeds. It's talking about the production. Everything produces its own kind. You don't plant a potato and expect carrots. Or plant an apple tree and expect to go and pick oranges. The seed God produces or reproduces its own kind. As in the natural, as plant as seed, as we plant a seed, it will germinate, it will grow, and it will produce according to its time, its kind. You can get the harvest when you plant, but you cannot get the harvest if you do not plant the seed. Without seed, there is no harvest. Philippians 2 verse 13 says, for it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. God's good pleasure. What's that? His good pleasure is to see us fruitful. John tells us, doesn't he? You didn't choose me. I chose you, and I appointed you to go and to bear fruit, fruit that will last. That's what God says. Every one of us has been chosen, has been appointed, has been anointed to bear fruit. Fruit that's not going to wither and rot away, fruit that's going to last. God's seed is in us. God's seed is activating us, energizing us to create. How do we create? We create by decreeing his word. Just as God said, let it be, and spoke creation, so are we meant to be speaking out to create. But let's remember, we're not to speak out negatives or unbelief, because that creates negativity, that creates unbelief. So we have to be careful what we speak out. We're meant to be positive and affirming. We're meant to be speaking out God's word. Negatives and unbelief are contrary to what God wants. Have you got your amplified there, Jonathan? Sorry?
Yes.
Okay, I could. I just realized I haven't brought it. Isaiah 51. Can I take this for him? Oh. It's getting on when you're nicking somebody's Bible, isn't it? Isaiah 51, verse 15. See it. For I am the Lord your God, who stirs up the sea so that it waves roar. The Lord of hosts is his name. I have put my words in your mouth, and I have covered you with the shadow of my hand, to establish the renewed heavens and lay the foundations of the renewed earth. Say that again. God said, I have put my words in your mouth and covered you with the shadow of my hand. We're protected by God. He's put his words in his mouth and protected us. And what's those words for? To establish the renewed heavens and lay the foundations of the renewed earth. And to say to Zion, you are my people. That's us. We are God's people. And he said, I'm putting my words in your mouth. It actually goes on and says, wake up. Wake up to this realization that you are my people, that I've put my words into your mouth. And when we speak out, the words that come out of our mouths, as we decree, things happen. You say, how? Well, in Romans 5 and verse 17, we see death ruled the human race because of the first sin. That's because Adam sinned, gave away what God had given to us. And, you know, but as Christians, because Jesus came, the second Adam came, Jesus changed things over, restored what God had given to us. Because remember, we were created to rule. Just say, I'm sure I'm getting out of Harvard. No, I'm not getting out. Yeah, we're created. God, when we look back in Genesis there, God said to Adam and Eve that we had to have dominion over the earth. We were going to rule. We were going to reign. You know, we had the authority to do that. But it was given to Satan. But it needed Jesus to come back and die on the cross. When Jesus died on the cross, he took away the keys for sin, for death. He restored things back to the rightful order, to God's order. And when we look in, yes, I'll read that, Genesis 1. My fingers can start moving. Verse 26. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on it. God's given us dominion. God gave us the right to rule. That's something that's been knocked out of mankind's thoughts. The right to rule. It was given to Satan, but Jesus came back and took it back and actually restored that position back to mankind. We see in Matthew 28 and verse 18, this is one of the last things that Jesus says. All authority, this is when he was on earth, before he rose again. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of the age. All authority has been given to God's people. It's delegated authority from Jesus there, and then he ascended into heaven after he'd said that. When we look at that, when we look at that statement, what do you think about that, the way we are at the present time? When we look at the way the church has been pushed down, the way the church has been sidelined, the church doesn't rule and reign anymore. How many centuries has it been spoken out? You don't talk about religion. How many times is it the church shouldn't be involved in government? Well, the church should be involved in government. The government has been formed by the church. And mankind over the last few centuries has slowly been pushing the church further and further and further out, saying, you stick to religion, we'll stick to running the country. Well, we can see where we're in there, what state we're in now. When you take God's law out of things, you get problems. And that's what we've got all over the world, where God has been taken out and moved to the sidelines. Jesus said, all authority has been given to the church. When we look at Job 28, sorry, when I get it turned up. In Job 28, I mean, David will know this off by heart, I know that, but there we go. Job 28. That doesn't look right. Sorry, Job 22. Job 22. Verse 28. Page stuck. This is what's told to Job. You will also declare a thing, and it will be established for you, so that light will shine on your ways. This is part of the advice that Job received from one of, if you like, his advisors, working on the assumption that Job had actually been wrong before the Lord. And he was telling him to turn back to God, to repent. And once he did that, that this would be right. Things would be right, that God was, he would then be on his side again, and he was saying, you will also decide a thing, and it will be established for you. See, this was the level of faith that these guys had. Their faith level, their expectation, their belief was if we're lined up properly with God, if we're doing what God wants, whatever we say will happen. And when you look before this, where Satan was actually given permission by God to tempt Job, Job was an extremely successful man. God had blessed him in every single quarter of his life. And it was only because Satan, God allowed him to come in, that he was in the desperate state he was in. But remember, when we see that, when we move through further through the story of Job, that God stops the temptation, stops the assault of Satan on him. And then we see Job is blessed twice to what he was. That's God's favor, God's blessing. Back to this. You will decree a thing and it will be established for you. And God's going to let God's light will shine on you. Yeah. Do you want God's light to shine on you? Yeah. God wants us to start deciding things and decreeing things, and the will be established. Jesus was teaching his disciples, when he was teaching his disciples again in Matthew 16. Verse 18. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loosed on earth will be loosed in heaven. Jonathan, can I have that again, please? I do apologize for this. I came down in two different stages today, and I've left my amplified Bible in the house. Thank you. But I just want to bring something in there. 16, 18. Right. I will give you the keys, the authority of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind, that's forbid, declare to be improper and unlawful on earth, will have already been bound in heaven. And whatever you loose, permit, declare lawful on earth, will have already been loosed in heaven. God's given us the authority. He's given us the keys. Thank you, John. And it's going to happen. When we speak out, things will happen. The Message puts those verses, you will have complete and free access to God's kingdom. That sounds good. We have complete and free access to God's kingdom. Why? Because we're in the family. Keys to open any and every door. How many times have we been saying there's barriers, there's things in front of us, there's things stopping us? If we take the message's interpretation of what the scripture says, is we're going to have a key to open any and every door. No more barriers between heaven and earth, earth and heaven. A yes on earth is a yes in heaven. And a no on earth is a no on heaven. Yeah. If we go back to Job 22:28, you will decree or decide a thing and it will be established for you. The word that's translated thing is omer. And thing is a poor translation. What omer means is to speak, to voice words, to speak commands. When we line up with scripture, we can and are meant to command, not meekly ask, but command to declare out with authority. Remember the authority that Jesus has given us. Speak things in the heavenlies to create, to cause change in the atmosphere. We can command healing to come. We can command the demons to go. We can command the harvest to come in. We can command an awakening to come. We can command salvations to come. We can command revival to come. God has said all of those things in his word. And it's for us to get hold of them. We looked at Isaiah 42, verse 9. Behold, the former things have come to pass, and new things I now declare. Before they spring forth, I will tell you of them. And that before, if you remember, I pointed out according to Strong's, means suspended in time. Thus things have been declared that God has spoken that are suspended in time, waiting to be taken off out of the rack and released on earth. Waiting for us to decree things in faith. Do we believe what God says to us? Do we believe that we have that authority to decree things, to bring things into being? It's sad if we don't, because that's what the Bible says, and what have we got across there? Yeah, we've already had it. I am who the Bible says I am. I can have what the Bible says I can have, and I can do what the Bible says I can do. That's not going to go away. We've got to keep looking at that and keep focusing on it, because we can. We may not have got there yet, but we're getting there. I think the more we actually start getting used to this idea, start taking it on board, you know, because we've got a lot of mindset that needs to be broken. Things that have been put on us from past experiences, past things that have been spoken, saying you can't do this, oh, we can't do that. Only certain people can do this. Only certain people can do that. Well, the children of God can do whatever the Bible says. And for us to be getting hold of that. So I want us to start declaring some things this morning. I've got some decrees written out, which are going to come onto the screen. And I wonder, I think if we give each one, I'll give you a chance to read it before we speak it out. Because I believe you need to read what you're saying before you speak it, so you can agree with it and understand. Okay, so that's the first one we've got there. Again, when you look at that, different things that are said here, we've already had, we've already been sensing, we've already had the presence, and we just want to see more. So I want us to speak it out. We decree every promise of God is ours in Jesus' name. Lord, you have made so many promises to us, one after another after another. We declare every one of them is coming to fullness in the name of Jesus. Every good and precious promise of God is coming alive and is now working in our lives. We believe the promises of Almighty God that have been made for decades, one after another after another. We speak life into them in Jesus' name. We declare them to come alive and to live among us. Yeah, that's good stuff, isn't it? We'll have hold of some of that, shall we? That's what we've been speaking out, yeah. One after another, we speak life into them. We declare them to come alive and to live within us and among us. Okay, go on to the next one. What have we got next? So together, we decree miracles are being released today in Jesus' name. Any obstacles of delay, we bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. Stop it and get out of the way. We declare the wonders of heaven will be seen. We loose them. Amazing signs unfold now and bring focus on our living, awesome, true God. Yeah. Yeah, we'll have some of them. And actually, when you think about it, what Eric has already shared at the beginning, that's God working and seeing an awesome miracle of creation there to get a bypass. Lots of people have got to hospital for a bypass. Yeah. Okay. Can we go over to decree our churches, please? We decree our churches are being filled with the presence of King Jesus, His Holy Spirit, and the manifest glory of Father God. We decree this house is being filled with the presence of King Jesus. We invite His glory. We declare welcome to the manifest glory of our Father. Fill this house with the cloud of your presence, with the fire of your presence. We want to welcome the manifest presence of the living God. Come, hover over us. May there be an opening, a portal where angels ascend and descend here. Loose them, Lord, to assist the building of the kingdom of heaven in this region and to help the saints. Yes. Yeah, that's right. I like that. Hallelujah. Yeah, we're asking here for the staircase to be in again. How many years ago was it we told there was a staircase right here with the angels coming up and down? And then it came back again. Somebody else said it, didn't they? And then we had just recently, there was another portal. There's a portal here. You know, let's get hold of it. We don't want that to keep closing up, opening and closing. It's several years now we've been told it's there. So, Lord, we're saying we want it open. We want to see things coming through. Yeah. Next one, David. Yvonne, please. We decree that we are receiving fresh power from an open heaven. Enabling power, come. Creative power, come. Tipping point power, come. Wonder working power, come. Miracle working power, come. Ruling and reigning power, come. Power of God, come unto us. We declare it's upon us corporately and individually as believers. We declare God's seed is in us and is activating itself inside us right now. Yes. I don't know about you, but that gets me excited. If we've got some seed getting activated within us now, remember, seed grows. So give it a chance. Keep feeding it. Keep moving for it. Yeah. Okay, next one, please. We decree new strategies of evangelism to be released, and they will work. The plowmen, just like your word says, are going to be overtaken by the reapers in Jesus' name. And why do we say that? Yeah, strategies of evangelism. Yes, we want to know how to be. We want to be reaching people. That's the whole idea of what we're doing, isn't it? For the church to grow. But the strategies of evangelism be released. Yeah, it's all right them being released, but that last little bit is important. The work. Yeah, because we've, how many years have been working and working and working away, and we haven't really seen the fruits of the labor? Well, we're decreeing that they're going to work, that we're going to see people brought into the kingdom through the efforts that's been put out. We're talking on, was it Wednesday night, about Alpha Course? I was just checking Wednesday or Thursday. We were talking about the Alpha Course, how fruitful it's been in other places, but it hasn't been here. Fruitful, I'm seeing. We saw the power of God moving, but we didn't see the fruit coming in. So we want to see things happening. We want to see things being productive in what we're doing. Whether it's in the coffee shop or whether it's in the church or whether it's as we're going about our daily lives, that's what we're wanting. Work. That renewed strategies are going to be released. That we're going to have the plowmen and the reapers working together. Yeah. Okay. And that last bit there, we decree Holy Spirit power is being poured out upon our sons and daughters. And that's, if we come back into Joel, and it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. And also on my maidservants and my manservants and my maidservants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. Yeah. So you get a choice there, don't you? Well, I don't know whether you do. Whether you dream dreams or you see visions, you'll find out whether you're old or young when that happens. Yeah, but that's what the prophet Joel was given, and that's what's being brought forward. We can see that again in the Gospels, that God wants that to be happening. Yeah. So as we decree these different things, let's be in anticipation that they're going to start coming to fruition soon. Some starting straight away. Now, I don't know, I've got them printed out. If you want those decrees, I can get you a copy and let you have it. But I mean, I just wanted us to do that because I said last week or the week before, so remiss. We started doing declarations. We did them for quite a long time. And then we stopped. And it's one of the things that I've got to be trying to be careful, because we can be doing things and before you know it, it's just slipped and gets forgotten. But decrees are important. We're told that so many times in Scripture. So we've got to keep on decreeing. Keep on speaking out with the authority that God has given us. Okay. Right. Now you've been very good this morning, and looking with the cold, I've got a special treat for you. Do you know what today is?
Sunday.
That's good. First Sunday in Advent, yes, but something else. 28th of November, yes. If you actually were in Israel, it would be something a bit different. It's Hanukkah. Hanukkah starts today. The 8-day festival of lights. The feast that they have in Israel. To commemorate a major miracle. See, it doesn't really get put forward though. A miracle that God did for the Jewish people. When Antiochus was overthrown, when the Maccabees army, when they actually came in and took over 2,000 men, a lot of them weren't even armed, and they defeated the Syrian army of 20,000 soldiers. 2,000 not fully armed men defeated 20,000 trained soldiers. Because of what they'd been doing in the temple. If you remember, they'd actually been slaughtering pigs in the temple and all sorts. Anyway, when they actually got them, they had to clean the temple out. They started consecrating the temple. And they found that there was only one day's supply of oil, special oil, that consecrated oil to keep the lamp burning in the temple. Well, the law was that they had to keep the lamp going all the time. And they lit the lamp anyway. And God kept one day's supply of oil. That lamp kept burning for 8 days. And that was the length of time it took the priests to consecrate some more oil. God brought a miracle to show that he was in charge of what they were doing. He was in favor of what they were doing. And you can say, well, what's that got to do with us? It's 8 days where they dedicate themselves to God. And it's just a reminder for ourselves that, yeah, we haven't been in the temple with pigs and all this, that, and the other. Yeah, but it's a case that this is the time when they actually dedicate themselves to God afresh. So John said there's the Advent with different prayers, getting us ready for Christmas. You know, it's a case of just link it in. I'm not saying we're Jews. Please do not. I'm not advocating that at all. But it's good to have something like this to remind us, yeah, let's dedicate ourselves again. And just as a special, as a treat for you, what they do in Israel is this. Things change and they have loads of donuts. Iced donuts, jam donuts, you name it, donuts. And they reckon that there's that many donuts kicking about in Israel at this time of the year. Well, who's going to eat them all? But they all get eaten.
Another miracle,
yes. So there's a donut for you at the end if you would like a donut. Yes. Just remember, so as you're eating your donut, you can dedicate yourself to God.